Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
The Boar Knight, Part 6, Spinavin. Art is in the eye of the beholder, and so those with eight eyes must surely have a keen sense of beauty and worth. The silk stairs were made of the strongest, sleekest spinner silk, and lined with the whitest wrapping wood. The stairs wound up into the trees above, leading off into a world of colourful birds and canopy sunrays. It was picturesque, and Nathaniel sighed with relief, knowing he was one trot further along his quest and one trot closer to finding the elusive moon pearl. Sir Nathaniel climbed upward, though the others remained frozen in place, admiring the masterful work the great spinners had crafted for the entrance into their lofty lands. But soon, Nathaniel halted as well, noticing that the silk stairs had not only brought them higher, but that just beyond their silken steps dropped a steep cliff. All the trees he saw before him were not of normal size, but massive, towering vegetation many times the size of the grandest castles of men. The silk stairs started at the top of the cliff, and as they entered the realm of the great spinners, they wove through branching boughs that touched the sky.
Are we sure this is the way? Oh, well, I guess.
I didn't know we were so high up. Oh wow, look at that cliff. And the trees. We're going to be up there in those trees. Even higher. Oh.
Right. Blessed Lord. So get us.
Don't look down. Look down. Scary things are okay sometimes. Scary things are okay. Don't look down. Ooh. Yes, sir. Thank you. I know it's true. I think the scary parts make heroes brave, too. They certainly make the best stories, like Olaf the Mighty Mouse, or the tale of Belinda, the pink-hearted. Ooh, those are wonderful tales. Some of the first I learned as a bard. What do you think, Madrid? Do you enjoy the story of Belinda? She was a dwarf, too. Madrid?
I'm here, just taking a breath. No. Mira esa roca. Parece una piedrita ahora. Wow! That was a long night of hiking. Maybe we should just go back down and rest. We could all use some sleep. Yeah, yes. You are right. We're nearly there. Spinnervin can't be too far off. Soon, along the silk stairs, in the treetops.
Madrid, are you afraid of heights?
Well, of course. How could I not be? We dwarves live under mountains and under stone. Under, not over. We're never meant to be this high up. Aren't you scared? Gnomes live underground too. Even boar can have underground dens. This should be scary for all of us. Thank you, sir. I know I can make it. Great spinners make amazing things.
Don't look down. Don't look down. Remember, scary things are okay sometimes. If you don't look down, maybe you won't think about it. I mean, you trust yourself not to trip every time you walk on the ground, so just trust yourself to walk up here.
And if you fall, I can always catch you, Madred. I'm Malin.
How do you know my name?
I was sent to greet you all. I know each of your names. Sir Nathaniel, we are honored that you've chosen to seek out the great minds of Spinnerven to help you on your quest. Winthrop, you are making quite the name for yourself as a bard. And Madred, we were all delighted to hear Sir Nathaniel had taken a squire, and such a fierce Frost Iron warrior, too.
But how do you know all that?
Spinnerven is a hub for all the world's spinners. We all knew you were coming. Spinners know everything that happens in and around our webs, and no web is larger than that of Spinnerven. Of course, our studious Lycos happily awaits your arrival. Exactly. Now come along. We all want to help you, Sir Nathaniel, so follow me to the Silk Market. It's not far. After we pass through, you'll be right in front of the Spinnerven Library. Don't be frightened, Madred. Just as dwarves build the grandest halls under the mountains, we spinners build the strongest palaces in the trees.
Right. I can do this. No mires para abajo.
Even if you were to jump with all your might, I'd catch you. So follow me. The Silk Market awaits.
Barstone! Redstone! Cut or uncut!
Spinnerven's finest silk! For garments, furniture, or more!
Thorn mill flour! Best you'll find this side of the silk
stick. Tomatoes with ease!
This is the Silk Market. You can find anything here. Merchants from across the many lands come here to sell and exchange their goods. Take a look, but stay close. It's easy to get lost.
Why, there's a whole town up here.
Look at the shops. And the towers and the... whatever that is.
Of course. Spinnerven is a place like no other. Up here, at the top of the trees, we collect all we can from the world below. Ah, here we are. The Spinnerven Library. You're in for such a treat. I'll leave you here. Lycos is waiting for you inside. It was wonderful to meet you all, but a little spider tells me I'm needed elsewhere. Apparently I need to pick up the dry cleaning. All the best to your quest, Sir Nathaniel. I hope to see you again soon.
Yes. Thank you, Malin, for the help.
The pleasure was mine.
So do we knock, or...?
That should do it.
Oh.
Es tan hermoso. Con arcos altos como las cuevas antiguas.
I am here, Sir Nathaniel. Welcome to the webs of Spinnervind. Thank you for coming all this way. I am excited to help you on your quest. There are few such wonderful surprises left for an old spinner like me. Now come, we'll talk in my office. To have visitors in the great library again, oh, it reminds me of times gone by.
You really think you can help us on our quest, Mr. Lycos?
I will certainly try, young Winthrop.
Do you have a moon pearl here, by any chance? This place is like a castle. You must surely have treasures such as those.
No, not that kind of treasure. Sadly, I do not have the ingredient you need, but I will tell you all I can. Any knowledge I think will help you is yours. That is what I have to offer. I know much, and what I don't know, I can find.
grow apple trees. Tall with ease, attract all the bees. Here, if gardens aren't a thing, learn to craft metal springs. Rings fit for a peasant or a king. No, maybe a learning spree. Dive the depths of mythology. Proofs of biology, newest technologies. Knowledge of power, and if you allow her, knowledge will grant you every book you can scour. A to B, one to infinity. Understanding is a step toward divinity. Affinity to discover. Cause who's not a lover of a good hardcover?
What I see, someone spoke. What I see, someone knows. What I see, someone wrote. What I see waits in his room.
Isle upon isle, stack up the piles, vault deep with files, documenting truths and wise, take it home. Regardless of time, you can atone. Let your mind roam, catch every word, second page tome. So what can I get for you? Look to the brim, knowledge so deep you can swim through it. Gin for your brain, no one's stopping you, no breathing for this. This is my library, but knowledge is yours. It's access, accessible, accessory to new skills, new functions. Functionary, that's me. I'll help you find what your heart desires, your mind admires, your life requires. In all of these leaves and words, I'm diviner.
What can I find for you, Sir Nathaniel? Moon pearls. Well, I know of only one reference in the last 3 centuries that directly mentions the rare moon pearls. Here, Addison Achtweinchen's account of the islands and coasts of the southern Petla Mountains. It states that the Ocean King, during a rare visit to the Empress of Grand Petla, wore a cape studded with moon pearls that, quote, shone as an ancient wave bathed in lunar light, an awe to men and beast alike, a boon to any and all with sight. Achtweinchen liked to think himself a poet, though he was better suited to formal reports.
Great, so the Ocean King has moon pearls. We knew this, but where do we find the Ocean King? He hasn't been seen in far too long. Decades, perhaps.
Yes. Hundreds of years, I believe. But I think I know why. Give this old spinner a moment.
The songs of the Ocean King were very popular long ago. But he disappeared, and soon new songs took their place.
If anyone knows, it will be Lycos and this library. I've never seen a greater hole on the surface or above. Surely, if he doesn't have the answers, he will know someone who does.
I never forget a word. Well, I forget a little, but I knew I read it somewhere, and here it is.
Whoa.
Huh.
Here we have a chapter on the Battle of the Rolling Shoals. See, a mighty population of sea turtles had laid claim to these islands some 40 years hence. But due to changing wind patterns, their claim and their young hatchlings were under threat by a flock of Titan seagulls. Now, due to a treaty from back in 1125, it was marked... Yes, my apologies. I just love a good fact, but here we are, the Ocean King. After the Battle of the Rolling Shoals, the Ocean Armada, which had come to support the Sea Turtles, was visited by the Ocean King to help solidify their alliance with the Great Shell Queen. After a polite meeting, the Queen asked where the Ocean King was headed, and he remarked... Oh, dear. He remarked that the Ocean Armada were to escort a population of immigrants to... the undersea.
Oh, no! Oh, Sir Nathaniel, I'm so sorry.
Young Winthrop is not altogether wrong to be so downtrodden. The undersea was a discovery like no other. But reports of the undersea are still quite scarce to this day, and we never know what to believe. It seems the Ocean King brought many immigrants and refugees to the undersea, but those who live there are rarely heard from, and little is known of it.
Yes. So he was said to have gone to the undersea, and then nothing. So he's still there? We just need to go and find him.
To the undersea?
Really? To go to the undersea, knowing so few return. You are truly a brave knight, Sir Nathaniel, and your squire and bard do you justice to join you on this quest.
Join you?
I'm here, and I will follow you, Sir Nathaniel. But I must confess I have perturbations. Certainly we are not prepared for the undersea. Am I correct in assuming it's... you know, underwater?
I'm gonna drown.
They are right to be worried, but there is always a solution. You will need supplies, most important being this.
Don your fins and get ready to dive with Gill's fishneck water breathers for the water-seeking landlubber. Wear your gills and go for a swim with the fishes. Do these really work?
They do, but they are rare.
How rare? We're running out of time.
Well, we can get our legs on three sets of gills. We'll just need to check the wood wide web, Yes, the wood wide web. See, we in Spinnevind have a series of interconnected webs which, when we pluck, allow us to access our local internal Spinnevind purveyor. You met Malin already. She's the library's ISP. And here she is.
So nice to see you all again. What can I find for you?
Three sets of gills, fishneck water breathers, please.
Ooh, can we order other things for our quest?
Of course. So long as you can pay, anything is available. What would you like?
There, in the grand halls of the Spinnervent Library, Nathaniel, Winthrop, and Mardred wrote up a whole list of provisions for their quest. They wanted long-lasting foods like dried nuts and fruits, fresh waterproof boots, sturdy rope, as one should never forget good quality rope on a quest. And of course, three sets of Gill's fish neck water breathers. Merlin happily rushed away, her eight long legs dancing across the spinner silk that stretched the whole of Spinnervin, the woods, and farther to the far reaches of lands beyond. She returned with deals and offers galore, dried fruits from different cellars with different mixtures of different prices, and they took their time to pick what suited them best. In the end, at the insistence of the many magical rats that lived in Nathaniel's cloak. They settled on a particularly apricot-heavy fruit mix that suited them all well. Pounds upon pounds of mixed nuts, and some mushroom jerky to round it out. Boots were tried on, returned, and tried again. A not uncommon practice among a people with eight legs. Three sets of Gil's fishneck water breathers were acquired, and they breathed a sigh of relief knowing the depths of the undersea were within their grasp. Then, the bill came, for it was still commerce after all. To Winthrop's dismay, rare underwater breathing apparatus cost a pretty diamond, and it was exactly those diamonds which, to everyone's awe, Madrid produced from a bag without a thought.
Oh my!
Oh, I see.
How?
What's all the huff about?
Where did you get those gemstones, Madrid?
These? Well, it's how we paid for everything under the mountain. So, how much did you say? 4 diamonds for the lot? Here you go, then. And a garnet for your travels. It's baguette cut, but I think the luster makes up for it.
Of course. Oh, thank you. This is perfect. I mean, wow. These are perfect.
Did you think I'd pay with flawed stones? You think me a swindler?
No, no, never. I meant to compliment your wares.
We're all happy here, Lady Dwaria. Well, common among the fine halls of dwarves. Many in Spinnervind would never expect actual diamonds in payment. Malin is just shocked by your generosity. We rarely see casual gemstone trading here, and never of such fine quality as what comes from under the dwarven frost iron mountains.
Oh, well, my mountain is known for its fine gems, though mostly peridots and diamonds.
So, what do we do now?
Rest. I know that your time runs short, but rest cannot be rushed. There is an inn down the street, the Cocoon and Crumpet. Rest there for the evening and leave tomorrow refreshed and ready to face the perils of the undersea.
I can show you to the Cocoon and Crumpet. My sister works there, and she'll be happy to settle you in for the evening.
Yes, thank you, Lycos. You have set us on the path.
One day I'll come back here. I bet there are songs in these books no one has sung for ages.
There certainly are. Now, go, go. I will come see you in the morning. I have much more to research before then.
With friendly introductions, the merry band entered the warmth of the Cocoon and Crumpet, eager for rest and fine food. Over cups of soothing tea, the team spoke on their adventures ahead. Winthrop voiced worries of the water, the caves, the beasts, and the unknown. Even Madred, who loved the idea of being back beneath the stones of the earth, was a bit frightened of the watery depths beneath it all. In the end, when they settled down to sleep before a fine and roaring fire, Nathaniel snorted his reassurances. For really, how hard could it be to find a king, even if none had ever returned from the undersea?
The Poor Knight, written by K.A. Stats, produced with additional sound design and accordion by Travis Vengroff, edited with sound design and mixing by Dane Leonardson, with music by Stephen Malin, Ryan McQuinn, and Travis Vengroff, starring Sam Yao, Paul Mea, David Devereaux, Juliana Gutierrez, Christelle Ferron, and Peter Joseph Lewis. This is a Fool and Scholar production. Thank you for listening.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Linsky.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.